Well, we got a lot of news here to hit on this. What is it? Is it Wednesday? Is that what it is? Are we at Wednesday right now? You know, you play it out, you lay it out, and come up with a show. You're gonna hit certain topics, and then bam, news starts hitting. Kind of wondered if Sean Payton and the Broncos were going to. I'm not gonna say clean house because I don't think we're there yet. I don't think this move today, the Randy Gregory thing. The Broncos set to waive Randy Gregory. I think this was a clearing of the way for a guy like Nick Benito. It's not a fire sale. They're not tanking the season. I mean, they may end up doing that. You may get to that point. But that's not what this move signifies to me. I mean, Sean Payton decided to bench Randy Gregory, basically, and start Nick Benito, who was a draft pick last year. And you saw Benito came up with the play that likely, I mean, that was the play that Nick Benito came up with tied the game, forcing the fumble on Justin Fields, and then Cooper scooped it and ran it in. That was a huge play, and I think that those kind of plays make you feel pretty good about your decision to start him. Well, you can't continue to have Randy Gregory on the bench. And the Broncos have been trying to trade. They were trying to trade him. For one, I heard the Broncos were trying to trade Randy Gregory. Wow, what a wasted situation there. I mean, they were really hoping Gregory would become an elite pass rusher. Now they're just going to release him. ESPN, Jeff Legwald's ESPN, who's a beat writer for the Broncos on ESPN, wrote this. Gregory and his representatives had asked for his release earlier this week, sources told ESPN. The Paytons discussed Gregory's contract, potential playing time, and his mindset, and decided that releasing him was the way to go, according to sources. ESPN says, according to the sources they've talked to. Now, again, I think that they were trying to trade him. I think that that was kind of in the works well before Randy Gregory wanted out or said he wanted out. But couldn't really find a partner for him for the money you're paying him. Because he just signed a five-year, $70 million contract in March of 2022. He had a $14 million base salary this season, another $5 million set for next season. Those are fully guaranteed. But they saved some money. They're going to end up, I mean, well, a little bit. I don't know. Randy Gregory's going to end up pocketing about $28 million from the Broncos for playing for 10 games. And 27 total pressures. It's like $1 million per pressure you're paying him. Bloated contracts, wasted contracts, and again, the markings of a bad team when you keep reaching for guys that maybe don't fit, or maybe they're past their prime, or maybe they're just not that guy. And this is another situation here. He signed a five-year, $70 million contract last season. So he was a building blocks guy. He was a defensive player you wanted to try to build around. And now he's gone, and now he's getting $27 million to walk out the door. Well, he was getting $27 million anyway. But is it a bad move? Is this a this is Sean Payton standing up and I think making a statement. We are seeing guys hungry. We want hungry guys, not hungry eyes, hungry guys that are going to come out and fight through this season and help us fight through this mess and not just complain about it and not just be frustrated about it. So I would imagine you're going to see more of this today. And again, I don't think it's a fire sale. Not yet, anyway. This is removing guys that you don't think you're going to be starting anymore, and you don't want to have that bad blood in the locker room. I think Jerry Jeudy's next. You know, he's tweeting all over the damn... Whatever happened to the... Now, again, it's say... Do as I say, not as I do. Sean Payton kind of has that right now. But it was supposed to be calm down on the Twitter thing, calm down on posting every 5 seconds. Well, Jerry Jeudy gets on and goes after a Ring of Famer in Rod Smith. Goes after Philip Lindsay. They basically, Lindsay tweeted out something like, where are the wide receivers on this team? And Jeudy went after him saying, hey, I'm glad you get to watch the game from home. And then he goes after Rod Smith a bit. And Rod Smith comes out and says, hey, I'm not really doesn't really bug me. But now you got Jerry Jeudy's on Twitter going off, doing his cryptic thing again. I didn't like the draft pick when they got him. Didn't think they needed him. And now you're at a position where he's still doing his things, but he's not really producing on the floor or on the field. He tweeted this yesterday. Angel, you followed Jerry Jeudy. You tell me what it means. Full of fakes. And then he also did the peace sign. Easy. To me, that says take it easy. I'm out. I think he's out. He responded to Rod Smith on October 1st on Sunday when Rod Smith agreed with Philip Lindsay as far as where are the wide receivers on the field. Jerry Jeudy says, as a receiver, you should know how this football blank go, but it was good win, though. A good win, though. Translating, though, not dough. And, I mean, you're going to say, as a receiver, you should know how this football works. He's a Ring of Famer, Jerry Jeudy. He's a legend of the team that you play for. This is how Judy's been since day one. A lot of tweets, a lot of talk. He's fast, he's quick, he can do those drills really, really great. But it's never panned out on the field. I mean, you could talk about, I know you and Tanner were talking about this morning, Angel. You can talk about how the Broncos failed him. At the end of the day, he's got to make catches. At the end of the day, when he's open, he has to make plays. Now, I agree with you that you can ruin a quarterback. Receiver, you got to run routes. You got to get open. And when you get open, you got to make catches. And when you make catches, you got to make plays. You have not seen this guy do that. Cortland Sutton's another guy that possibly is on the chopping block. Because everything that I've heard and seen with Sean Payton is he's pretty comfortable paying one wide receiver big money. Well, right now on your roster, Tim Patrick, who's out for the season, you're paying Cortland Sutton and Tim Patrick big money. And Judy's going to be up for potential, I don't know if it's big money, but starting wide receiver one, wide receiver two money coming up at the end of the season. So I would expect the Broncos to move on from Jerry Jeudy within the week, if not today. And again, I would not take this as a Broncos are punting the season look just yet. Now, you trade Patrick Surtain, that's a we're done. We're going to collect draft picks for the rest of the season, let the chips fall where they may. But at this point, if you're Sean Payton, you are looking for guys that want to play on this team and try to make the most of what they've got this season. At 1-3, the season is not over. You know, depends on who you ask. You can win a game against the Jets. They're in their white, their snow cap helmets coming up on Sunday, so that's something to kind of be excited about. But you can still salvage something, and I'm not going to bet that they do, but you still can. It is still in front of you. But this is Sean Payton saying, hey, I'm looking around at this locker room. Who wants to be on this team and who wants to be a part of this team? Put their head down and their nose to the grindstone and help us turn this around. Or who wants to get on social media and attack media members and former Broncos greats? Who wants to complain about their role on the team? Who wants to get after it in practice and help us change the culture? And Sean Payton is saying right now that, okay, Marvin Mims, per play, he's pretty damn good. You just haven't used him much because maybe your offense doesn't call for it. Brandon Johnson, I know you had some bad penalties against the Dolphins a couple of weeks ago, but there's something there. Let's go with, you know, again, I don't think they're going to trade both. They're not going to trade Jeudy or Sutton and Sutton, I don't believe. And Sutton of the two is definitely more toeing the, you know, in line with the company line, I would say, a little bit. But Sutton's had his stuff too over the years. But you got to find guys that are hungry right now because what you're doing with the wide receivers on this team is not working. I mean, just look at the numbers. You know who leads this team in receiving yards, Angel?
I have no idea.
Marvin Mims. You know who leads this team in targets? Cortland Sutton. 28 targets. He has 216 yards. Marvin Mims has 11 targets. 11 for 242 yards. Big play right there. Every time he catches the ball, he's averaging 27 yards per catch. He's got a touchdown now. Expect Marvin Mims Jr. to be the next Nick Benito. What I mean by that is if you don't trade Jerry Jeudy, you are going to move him down in the depth chart or at least give some of those targets and those play designs and looks where they're really favoring Jeudy or Sutton. You're going to see Marvin Mims get a shot here. This is Sean Payton's guy. And he has been really good every time we've seen him touch a football. So I would imagine you're going to see some move this week, whether it's a trade or releasing or whatever. They're not going to release Jeudy. You could probably still get a third, second round pick for him. But this guy, I mean, enough's enough at this stage. And I'm not saying Sean Payton is innocent on all this, but I kind of applaud this move today. And I applaud what he did on Sunday, saying, okay, well, Randy Gregory's not giving us the production we want. Let's try Nick Benito. Let's start him and see what he can do. Well, Nick Benito saved the football game for you. He made a play on Justin Fields and saved the game. And you got the Panthers looking to add a receiver. They're trying to build pieces around their guy now. That might be a trade partner. Was it Claypool out of Chicago? He's looking to go somewhere. What is that going to look like? I don't know if the Broncos are going to make a lot of moves. They might just clear some guys so they can try out these younger guys. And again, it's not like their wide receivers are lighting the world on fire right now. So if you're one of those guys, it's like, oh, they're trading Jeudy and Sutton. They're punting the season. No. Jeudy has 11 receptions for 158 yards through four games. I mean, 11 receptions is like a monster game for number one. One game. 11 receptions is nice for two games. But four games, it's not working, and it hasn't been working. So if I were Denver, yeah, I'm seriously considering moving on from Jerry Jeudy. A little Nuggets question for you today. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. How many All-Stars will the Denver Nuggets have this season? Zero? One? Two? Three? Can't get four, right? There's no way. There's no way you can get four. Not enough basketballs. Joker for sure, but maybe this is... Porter wants to be an All-Star. Jamal wants to be an All-Star. Or at least Malone wants Jamal to be an All-Star. Aaron Gordon. He was probably the closest in line last year behind Nikola Jokic. How many All-Stars will be on this team? We're going to talk about the Wyoming Cowboys coming up next. Cody Tucker joins me every Wednesday. And this Mountain West Conference, it is good. It's very good. And it's entertaining. Where do the Wyoming Cowboys fit in all of this as they get their 1-0 in the conference now? They wrapped up conference play 2 weeks ago. They beat New Mexico 35-26. They get Fresno State coming to town this weekend. How good is Fresno State? We're about to find out. Cody Tucker going to join us next from 7220sports.com. It's the whole show powered by Chevron, on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
You like podcasts? We podcast every show immediately after it airs at 1310kfka.com or wherever you download your favorite stuff. Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
The Wyoming Cowboys. Can we say a quiet 4-1? Maybe? I don't know. Depends on who you ask. 4-1. 1-0 in the conference. Took down New Mexico last week. Big test coming up this weekend. Joining us now from 7220sports.com, our Wyoming Cowboys insider, the Cody Tucker. Cody, how are you, man?
Oh, I'm doing awesome, Brady. Just writing some real bangers here and getting prepared for a big one. Number 24, Fresno State coming to town. Game's not on FS1 or FS2. It's on the Real Deal Fox. So excited for the fans, excited for the exposure. I know everybody around Laramie feels the same.
I am really looking forward to this game. I want to see what Fresno State's really made of here and just how good Wyoming can be. This is a huge opportunity for them coming up this weekend. Let's talk about that New Mexico game, though. Last week, Cody, you said it. New Mexico, for whatever reason, gives the Cowboys some fits. Made it interesting in that fourth quarter, but ultimately the Cowboys get away with the dub. And Harrison Whaley is just like a man on a mission. Almost 200 yards on the ground for him last weekend.
Yeah, that kid's pretty good. He actually had a 66-yard run where he got caught from behind, and we haven't seen that yet this year, so he was pretty bummed, and he promised that'll never happen again. But that stopped him just short of 200 yards rushing. The guy's he's incredible. And honestly, what a bounce back for Andrew Peasley.
Yes,
he was just 5 of 15 for 31 yards and a pick the week before. He came out slinging, 16 for 25, 194 yards through the air, a touchdown on the ground and through the air. And I thought Tim Polasek, Wyoming's offensive coordinator, really did a great job in this one. Eight of the first 9 plays from scrimmage were passes. Really got Andrew Peasley involved early. He connected with 9 different receivers. Last guy to do that in Laramie is now the quarterback in Western New York. So really, really good bounce back there for Andrew Peasley. And, at the end there, they played a lot of guys on defense. I mean, it was a revolving door on defense. There were some injuries and just kind of let New Mexico, climb back into it a little bit. But, hey, man, I know CSU has a huge streak going right now against the Lobos, but that's a totally different New Mexico team. They're really good. They're gonna scare some teams, and they might even pull off a couple upsets this year.
Yeah, I'll be curious. That's why this conference is so, there's a couple of front runners right now, but there's also some teams that might surprise people throughout the course of the season. That's why I'm really intrigued by all these Mountain West games. On the defensive side of the ball, it's nice to see an Eckler be on a team that I care about, I watched his brother, like how good he was here and locally, and then nobody talked to him apparently. But Wyatt Eckler, he was named the conference defense player of the week.
Yeah, and rightfully so, man. They called up some blitz packages for him that were incredible. He's never had a sack in his career, which if you saw the game Saturday, you'd be stunned to hear that because he was blowing around the edge. New Mexico didn't pick it up 3 times, and their poor quarterback Dylan Hopkins, the third one didn't count because the whistle had blown because of a motion, and Eckler still laid about anyway. So it could have been 3, and a huge strip sack there right before the half that knocked them out of field goal range. The guy's really athletic, and it was really nice to see. And your boy down there, Buck Coors, he's back in action after his 6th surgery on the left side of his body. And he made a huge tackle in the backfield, too. So some local guys for you had a really nice Saturday.
That guy is Buck Coors, man. You've talked about every time you get on and you've talked about his injury that's supposedly like, season ending or half the season, whatever. And you always say it on this show, Buck's saying no, hell no, that's not going to be the case. I'll be back.
Nope.
And there he is. He's out there like 5 seconds later making plays.
Yeah, even Craig Bull joked. He said, man, Buck is not happy with me because he said he was ready to play at Texas, which was only, he got an 8-week diagnosis, I believe, that it would take him to get back. He came back in like 3. So he's got the big club on, and his left arm is bionic. It's insane, but he was ready to go against Texas, and coach said, Buck, you haven't practiced, bro. You got to pump the brakes a little, man. We need you for the long haul. So really cool kid, really good to see. He's so motivated. I love talking to that guy.
Cody, aren't you surprised that a guy named Buck Coors is tough? I mean, come on, that's a surprise, right?
Well, and I didn't even know, man. Before he played football, he was a rodeo guy.
Yeah,
so,
course.
It's just perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
If you say, hey, Brady, I'd like you to meet this guy named Buck Coors, I'm like, all right, I got to be on my P's and Q's here because if I say the wrong thing, I could get hurt.
He's a lover, not a fighter.
Well, he's just tough. He's just a tough dude. And that's what you get with some of these guys. And I know that's what Craig Bull's looking for with these guys, is tough-nosed dudes. And this defense, man, talk about Wyoming's defense with us. This is, a lot. When you look around the conference, you're starting to pick out what teams specialize in. Surprisingly, Air Force is really good at running the football. But Wyoming, again, this is kind of like how Air Force is good at running. Wyoming is good at defense every single year.
Yeah, and you know what's great? I asked Greg Bull about it Monday. I was like, doesn't it feel great to be 4-1 when you guys haven't even scratched the surface of playing a clean, complete game yet in any of the three phases? And, of course, they don't want that to be the case. But, yeah, it's a good problem to have. And this defense, honestly, they haven't even played as well as any of us thought they would. They have not really been as successful at getting to the quarterback and tackles for losses and – there's just a few things that haven't clicked yet, but you know they're coming. This doesn't feel hollow. You know, I've been bringing it up a lot lately. In 2021, they got off to a 4-0 start. The wheels were wobbling from day one when they had to pull one out of the fire against Montana State at home. And Greg kept saying, they're 4-0. We're 4-0. We're 4-0. Like, why are you guys so down on this team? And it was like, man, we're just waiting for the wheels to fall off, and they did. This doesn't feel that way at all. This feels like they've been finding ways to win like good teams do, and they just haven't put together a complete game. And I pity the team that gets that complete game.
And maybe it's going to be the Fresno State Bulldogs this weekend.
Maybe.
I mean, talk to us about Fresno State, because I know a lot of people were high on this team to start the season, Cody. But you know, you lose Jake Haener, and I'm thinking they're gonna drop off. Well, here they are, 5-0, 24th in the country right now. Are they the real deal? I mean, I'm looking at who they, you know, Purdue, okay, Eastern Washington, Arizona State, all right, that's a good one, Kent State, Nevada. How good are the Fresno State Bulldogs? I watched that Bulldogs-Wolfpack game over the weekend, and again, it's 27-9, but it didn't feel like 27-9.
No. You know what? I was one of those guys early on, especially at Mountain West Media Days, going, why are they voting Fresno State number two? They lost not only Haener, they lost their leading receiver, a 1,300-yard running back, their leading sack guy with 11.5 sacks. Certainly they're going to take a step back, and they haven't so far. You know what? I know a lot of people, especially around here, saying, they beat a bad Purdue team on the road. They beat a bad Arizona State team. You know, those are still P5 programs, and they still went on the road and won those games. Other than that, yeah, their schedule hasn't been a world beater by any means. So I don't know, but I'll tell you what we do know is Wyoming has lost the last four. They've been outscored 87-10 in those meetings, and they're currently on an 11-quarter scoreless streak against this program. So Fresno State has had Wyoming's number, to say the least, and nobody around here is really saying, well, their strength of schedule has just been awful. No, they're saying, we've seen this team, and it hasn't been a lot of fun.
All right, so what do the Cowboys have to do to pull this one off? Because I tell you what, Cody, you beat Fresno State, and we're talking about – because I think Air Force is the best team in this conference. I think they're much better than Fresno State right now. But if Wyoming can pull this off, you got to be thinking about the Cowboys up there in top 2-3 spot.
Yeah, no, by the way, guess where Wyoming plays the following week? And there'll be about 10,000 fans at least following them down to Falcon Stadium if they win this game against Fresno State.
It's a gauntlet for them coming up, too, yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. It's absolutely tough. But, you know, you love that Fresno's at home, for one. But they are 16th against the run nationally, and Cowboys got to do that. They absolutely have to do that. They have to establish that. Harrison Whaley is just a special back, and what's funny is, like I just said about nobody else scratching the surface, really Harrison hasn't scratched the surface. He has been tripped up numerous times this year when there's just a wide open hole. And you figure, you know, that's probably not gonna happen too many more times. He's going to bust through that, and they're going to have big problems. But if Peasley can be effective like he was against New Mexico, and Harrison Whaley can bust a couple, and they can manage the clock. And something that's been weird this year, though, Brady, is the Cowboys have had a ton of penalties of late, and that's just not Craig Bowl football. So clean that up, and the defense needs to shut down that passing game. They're not running the ball very well, but they really need to muddy things up, and they've done that against Texas and Texas Tech, two teams that love to throw the football. So I wouldn't be surprised to see the Cowboys drop 8 again. They seem comfortable doing it. Maybe get Mikey Keene off his game a little bit and give him fits, man. Just give him fits. And I think the crowd's going to be huge, and, you know, it's going to be a rocking Saturday night on national television. So Cowboys, some good things there, some good things.
Well, and again, when you look at Fresno State, Nevada, I think even the broadcasters were talking about this. Like, Fresno State had several opportunities to slam the door shut early in that third quarter or whatever, and they just didn't. They kept driving down. They'd get field goal here, field goal there. And again, the score indicates that they won rather easily, but it just felt like Nevada's defense kept them close. So I saw a little cracking there for Fresno State. We'll see if that amounts to anything. I know how football works. Sometimes you struggle with bad teams, you blow out good teams, whatever. But there, to me at least, are some cracks when you look at this undefeated Bulldogs team.
Yeah, they're not overly terrifying. I just think around here people are little gun-shy after this four-game streak. I mean, because it's been pure dominance. Fresno State's outscored the Cowboys 87-10. It has been absolutely dominant. So I don't think anybody's, I don't think anybody thinks Fresno State's just unbeatable and the scariest team in the league by any means. But I think we've seen this movie before, and we want to – it's basically prove it.
Right
now, prove it.
Cody Tucker joining us from 7220sports.com, our Wyoming Cowboys insider. Okay, so you mentioned it. You got to be able to – can you run the ball, or is it going to be an Andrew Peasley show or a mixture of both? Is this going to be a situation where you really need Harrison Whaley to do what he's been doing, or do you think maybe Fresno State can shut that off a little bit, slow him down, and the pressure is 100% on Andrew Peasley?
I don't think it'll ever be 100% because they're going to keep banging no matter what, and they're going to bang you until they get some holes and start breaking some, 8-12 yarders, things like that. But that's the beauty about Harrison Whaley that Coach Bull keeps referring to, is they've had a lot of running backs in Laramie that can do the 10 and 12 and, start beating you up a little bit. But he's a guy who's a game breaker, and if he gets at the second level, the, secondaries can't even catch him. So that's a big difference, and they haven't had a home run hitter like him in a long, long time. So since a guy named Brian Hill, long time. So he's a really good ball player, but I think they come out like last week with Peasley. I mean, I was so impressed. He started the game 7-7 through the air. That's exactly what you need after a 5-for-15 clunker like he had the week before, and just keep it rolling, man. He was finding tight ends. He was finding guys over the middle. He was finding. I mean, he's obviously surveying the field, completing balls to 9 different receivers. So I didn't see anything wrong with the offense. I think you keep that going.
Well, we'll see. They're coming into this one 6.5-point dogs. The Cowboys are. Cody, my pick struggled a little last week. I was close on all of them. I was close on every single one of them, but close doesn't achieve greatness, and that's what I'm after. So this is why I'm picking great minds all week. Give me something here, Cody. Do the Cowboys cover? Do they do something crazy here and be the first ones to knock off the Bulldogs? What's your prediction here, Cody?
I've been having this weird thought all week long. John Hoyland, Wyoming's unbelievable place kicker, has earned about every award you can earn at the college level. Lou Groza just named him one of the best players of the week this week after he went 4-for-4. Coach Bull said he's the most automatic kicker he's ever been around, and that's including his time at Nebraska and North Dakota State, of course. I think it's time to add to the resume and maybe a game-winning walk-off field goal for Mr. John Hoyland.
Oh, I love that. I love it. And you have been – I gotta give you credit here. You called the Texas Tech game. You said that they would win that game. They pulled it off, and they did. That was an exciting game. Yeah, obviously you called the Portland State. I can't give you credit for that, Cody, but they won. I believe on this show – you said they would be competitive against Texas. I believe you said that, and they certainly were. I believe it was a tied game going into that fourth quarter. So you called that. They covered that spread. I believe you – obviously you said they'd beat App State. And I think you also said they'd beat New Mexico, but they would have trouble beating them because New Mexico gives the Cowboys fits. I don't think you've been wrong once on your predictions how these things are going to go this season for Wyoming. And I'm not just blowing smoke. I feel like you're 100% right now.
I don't know. I don't really pay attention to stuff like that. I just have these weird thoughts, man. I just think that I don't know. I just thought going into Texas, and I'll be honest with you, man, when I found out Andrew Peasley wasn't playing in that game and Colby Taylor wasn't playing in that game, I thought, oh, boy. At least this will be quick because the Cowboys are going to run it 70 times today. So the clock's going to keep rolling. But, so far so good. I think things have gone to plan. Like I said, going back to Mountain West Media Days, I was stunned when I walked in that room and I saw that the league's media had voted Wyoming 6th. My first thought is you guys are not doing your homework at all. And somebody voted UNLV number 1 to win the conference. I thought, oh, my God, this is just a joke all the way around. So Cowboys are way better than that. I think this weekend's huge. Craig hasn't won a lot of these big conference games, and it's time to do it, especially at home.
Oh, yeah. I think there might be a heck of an opportunity there for the Cowboys. Okay, so give me your – quickly here, Cody. Top 5 in the Mountain West. Where are you going?
Number one, I would go with Air Force right now as well. Number two, I guess you got to give it to Fresno.
Sure.
Two Power 5 wins on the road. Cowboys are at 3. Four. Let's give some love to UNLV. UNLV's played really well so far. They're really running the ball well. Like that team. They're playing with some confidence. And 5, man. I don't know. I don't know who to go with 5. I mean, CSU's playing well, but, you know, that's Utah Tech. They're playing really well, though. New Mexico, I think, is better than their record says. Maybe San Jose. Let's go Boise State. Those guys aren't out of it. They're not out of it by any stretch.
Yeah, and I don't know either, because Boise State's weird for me, Cody, because the second I get in, I'm all in on them, is when they really struggle, and then the second I give up on them is when, bam, they rattle off like 5 or 6 wins.
You know what? All they do is win Mountain West games.
Yes.
So now they're in the Mountain West schedule. They got San Jose State at home. I'd be stunned if the Spartans won that game.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they turn it on a little bit there. Cody, my man, what are you working on at 7220sports.com that we can check out?
Well, I'm writing the banger, as I said, right now, about what guys do on their 24-hour rule after they win or lose a football game. Craig Bohl by far had the best answer. He said he had a Manhattan, a cigar, a nice steak, and sat around the fire with the missus. And then Brian Hendricks, a guy from Colorado who's Wyoming's defensive end coach, he goes, I don't make as much money as Bull, so I smoke Marlboros and try and get to know my kids.
That is a good answer, man. That is a great answer. I would like to join Craig Bull in that journey, though. That would be, dude, wouldn't that be fun, sitting there having a Manhattan with him and a cigar sitting by the fire? Or do you think it'd be boring and he'd be like, I'm going to tell you of the days of yesteryear?
Oh, Craig Bull off the record is the best.
Is he?
It's the best. He just doesn't... You know, he's old school enough where he's not going to be having cameras follow him around. And I even asked him, why don't you, when you give out these scholarships, why don't you make a deal of it and, like, have the social media team do stuff? And he's like, no thanks. Okay.
Well, Cody, we got to arrange that. Manhattan's with Craig Bohl by his fire. What strings can you pull to make that happen?
Well, he's yelled at me a few times and said, we need to have some Pendletons and have some conversations. And I'm like, you tell me when and where, bud. That sounds like a blast.
I actually think it does. I think it would. Cody, appreciate you, man. Love your insights. And big weekend coming up for the Cowboys. So I'll be looking out for all your write-ups leading into this one.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate you having me on, as always.
Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com. 11:42 the time. We'll take a short break here. I want to talk more about the Broncos situation. More recap from Nuggets Media Day. They are rocking and rolling in California for their training camp. And is it disrespectful to practice on someone's turf and then go get a motivational speech from somebody else 45 minutes away? Let's talk about it. It's the whole show, powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Steamway Floor to Ceiling. Check their website out at steamwayfloortoceiling.com. They got a 4,000 square foot showroom. Check out luxury vinyl, hardwood options, carpet, granite, cabinets. They got you there. Steamway Floor to Ceiling. Maybe you are in the mode, in the remodel mode. You can remodel on a budget with Steamway Floor to Ceiling. Again, their website, steamwayfloortoceiling.com. Randy Gregory. He had some decent years in Dallas. He had two 6-sack seasons. But for Denver, he had 2 last year, played in 6 games, and he has 1 this year. A guy texting in saying this goes against Peyton. I think it is a positive for Peyton. What was Randy Gregory doing? Was Randy Gregory in my crosshairs for a guy that I think that they should move on from? No. But when they started Nick Bonitto, and then Nick Bonitto comes in and makes a play, Cooper's making plays. Okay, let's make room for the guys that are out there and going to make a play. And again, if Randy Gregory would have started on Sunday, it wouldn't have been that big a deal. I wouldn't have been thinking about Randy Gregory, but as soon as Nick Bonitto was starting, I thought, what's going on there? Gregory must not be happy with his role. Maybe he's not bringing it in practice. Maybe he and Sean Payton are at odds. But at the end of the day, You drafted Benito. You were hoping that he would be big his rookie year. He really wasn't. Can he take that next leap? Well, sometimes in order for a guy to take the next leap, you have to clear some of the guys standing in front of him. And I kind of like this with Benito and then with Jonathan Cooper. Maybe there's an opportunity here where those two guys on the outside could be, you know, young up-and-coming talent that you can build around defensively. I mean, Jonathan Cooper, you know, what was he, a seventh-round pick in 2021? So relatively young, he and Nick Benito. I think you can build a lot from them. Nuggets conversation coming up a little bit later on throughout the program. How many All-Stars will the Nuggets have this season? That is the tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. Go vote at thewholeshow.com. What are we looking at? Zero? No, come on. One at least. Are you going to get two? Can you get to three? We'll talk about more of that coming up. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, will join me as well. We got the Lunch Rush coming up at noon. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Have Friday night plans? We do. KFKA's Game of the Week, presented by A1 Organics.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. I want to thank Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. Their Greeley campus is located on 16th Street in the Greeley Medical Clinic. They're on the third floor. They are fully open and ready to take care of you and your family. They have locations all over northern Colorado, all over the Front Range. Check them out online. See if they can help you out. Orthohealth.com. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. I want to shout out to On the Rocks Liquor, too, for our Game Beer of the Week. It's my go-to. And I haven't had it yet, so I got to get over there to On the Rocks. Sam Adams Oktoberfest. That's the beer. That's the one. I love that beer so much. It opened me up to craft beers and everything. So it's not really a craft beer, but it's like in that in-between. It's an in-between. Angel, have you been seeing the previews for The Exorcist Believer?
Unfortunately, yes.
Like, I get showing horror movie previews inside stuff. You're promoting the shows and stuff, but I feel like they are showing way too much. Like, it is, dude, it, I have a game on in the background and my kids running around and this guy. Now, it's one thing if it's like a slasher, Halloween even. They didn't show everything. They just showed like Michael Myers standing there and stuff. This is creepy stuff, dude.
Yeah, a couple months ago when I went to see Oppenheimer four times, they played this trailer before each viewing.
So you're over it.
I'm over it. I didn't like it the first time I watched it, the trailer, because I was like, I don't like this at all. Oof. This is no creepy, no weird demon spirits. No.
Children.
And every time I went back to the theater to watch that movie, I knew that trailer was going to come up, so I would just look on my phone for a minute and a half until it was over.
Does this kind of stuff scare you?
It doesn't scare me. I just don't like to see it.
I think that there's got to be some FCC stuff here. Like, when all the Halloween previews were hitting for Michael Myers on, yeah, I don't really want Gavin looking up and watching that, so I'll pause it on a spot and fast forward, whatever. But with this, you see these little girls, like, back to back in these chairs in a cell, and they're demonic and possessed and stuff. That's, dude, 5 seconds of that, if I were 5 years old, would give me nightmares for a very long time.
I'm 25 years old, and I can't even look at the screen because it just creeps me out that much.
I don't think I could watch it. Now, I'm
Have you seen the original?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. Maybe if I saw it, I would be, oh, okay, it's whatever.
This looks scarier than that.
Like exorcism movies, I do not watch.
I've seen two of the exorcism movies, the original, and then I saw The Exorcism of Emily Rose. And that was scary to me, dude. That was really scary. I'm looking at this like, this is, I don't know, man.
I'll watch, Evil Dead Rise or something. That's like a demon witch or something. That's fine, but
yeah,
little girls' hearts beating in sync and possessing.
And they're
stuff.
Like, you got to choose which one. And the spirit, dude, and like Satan's talking through them and stuff. Tanner says, this is why Halloween sucks. Tanner's the guy. You liked Halloween last year. You liked the Michael Myers movies. You liked all that stuff. So don't go there. There's a difference, though.
This is a little too much, even for me. And I love Halloween. I love spooky, creepy things, man. It's a lot. I don't know if I'd see it. Definitely not by myself, and my wife's not in for sure. All right, Lunch Rush coming up next.